Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 56 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Aker.
And I'm Hallie Adams.
On a day-to-day basis, you can see students playing football, bikeball, using the horseshoe pits, or even laying towels out and studying.
Moorhead State University dedicated a new park on campus.
COVID cases in the Commonwealth are not dropping as fast as expected.
Funeral assistance is still available for COVID deaths.
The health of women and children in Kentucky is ranked near the bottom nationwide.
A pre-filed bill is calling for more accessible insulin.
In sports, MSU men's basketball faces off at the University of Auburn tonight.
Showers likely tonight, mainly before 2 a.m., otherwise cloudy skies with a low around 32 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Members of Moorhead State University's Student Government Association join administrators on Thursday to commemorate the opening of Butler Park, a green space named after the residence hall that once stood at the site. Butler Hall was built in 1961 and demolished in 2018. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan designated the site as a campus green space. Student Government Association President Emily Wiley says she often sees students using the area for football, frisbee, and horseshoes.
This is a project for students by students. It was dreamt up by the student body, and it was actually designed by a student at Moorhead State. He's an intern for facilities and works directly under the supervision of AVP Kim Oatman. So I want to thank you all sincerely for allowing our students to design this, fund it, and let it come to life.
The park was designed by freshman Kurt Whitley from Franklin, Tennessee, a civil engineering and construction management major. Although Wiley said the SGA has plans to add some trees and seating to the area, she says the idea is to keep the park a primarily open space so students can use it for a wide range of activities.
COVID-19 cases in Kentucky are not dropping as fast as they were in a few weeks ago, and officials say the positivity rate is at a 15-day high. Doctors and state officials are pushing for adults to get a booster dose and take their children to get a vaccine. Emergency physician Dr. Ryan Stanton tells WYMT, right now is the time to prepare for another variant.
We're starting to get in a lot better place, not a perfect place. And so this is the time where we have to kind of build up our defenses for potentially another round or another variant that comes through. This is not the time to relax, act like it's done, and just move on with our business.
School districts and health clinics across Kentucky are planning vaccination blitzes for individuals. Officials are hoping to see more 5 to 11-year-olds get vaccinated at the clinic.
More than 752,000 Americans have died from COVID-19, according to the latest CDC update. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, can reimburse families for up to $9,000 in funeral costs for COVID-related deaths. Billions of federal dollars were given to FEMA for the program, which is still open to anyone who meets the criteria and provides proper documentation. Sammy Oakley, president of Oakley's Funeral Service, tells WDBJ the chapel has received calls from FEMA spot-checking to be sure the money is going to the right place.
This is something the family is going to need to do after the services, after the cremation, what have you, and apply for this on their own. With the Delta variant, we saw a large increase in the number of deaths. We've already done about 224 COVID cases since this whole thing began in March of 2020, and it's continuing.
To apply for assistance, call the COVID-19 Funeral Assistance Helpline at 844-684-6333.
A national health report focused on women and children ranked Kentucky near at the bottom in several categories, including smoking and alcohol use. The data suggested that 19.9% of women in Indiana reported that they smoked, compared to 28.8% in Kentucky. In Indiana, 11.7% reported smoking during pregnancy, compared to 15.3% of women in Kentucky. Dr. Arthuza Kirk from United Healthcare tells Wave 3 News the statistics are concerning for the overall health of women and the children they care for and are bearing.
The other notable finding is that we saw excessive drinking increase 32%, from 14 to 18.5% of women of reproductive age. And we know that that also has a high impact on children who are in utero, as well as just women's health in general.
Kirk says women really need to have access to early prenatal care.
State Representative Patty Minter heads Bill Request 53, granting greater access to insulin for Kentuckians with diabetes. In February, she pushed House Bill 95 to lower the price of insulin to $30 per 30-day supply. Minter tells WBKO she knows all too well more needs to be done for people living with the disease since her son has type 1 diabetes.
This emergency bill will do the same thing, and it will make sure that people can get emergency access to a 30-day supply if they can't afford it, and have continuing access for up to 12 months if they can.
The bill is modeled after Alex Law in Minnesota. The bill is named for a young man who died after rationing his insulin. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The Service Employees International Union and the Cabell Huntington Hospital have not come to agreement yet in order to end the strike. Thursday marked the eighth day of the strike and the day four at the bargaining table for Hospital Workers Administration. Cherie McKinney is one of the directors with SEIU District 1199. She tells WSAZ they are asking for what they've already had.
The overall wage cut, if they implement these insurance, if you put everyone together, it would be 9.86%. They're asking workers to make less than what they did 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
The strike will continue for workers, and leaders say it will be as long as it takes.
A Canadian organization started the hand signals a North Carolina teen was using before she was rescued in Laurel County. Deputies say someone called 911 saying they saw a girl giving the signal as the car she was in drove down I-75 south last week. The caller stayed on with dispatchers as they followed the car and approached the London exit where deputies stopped the car. The Canadian Women's Foundation launched the Signal for Help campaign in April of last year amid a spike in cases of domestic violence. Spokeswoman Andrea Goonraj tells WKYT the interest and education behind the signals has surged.
It really speaks to the power of this signal and the idea that we need to have something to help us make sure that people are safe. What is so wonderful is seeing people respond to it, know it, share it, want to learn more. It speaks to me that we know this violence is happening.
The Canadian Women's Foundation is working on a signal response guide for later this month with examples of signs and signals.
A city council member in Salyersville was removed from his position during a special session this week on charges of misconduct after he made a racial slur during a meeting in October. City and county leaders were quick to condemn Councilman Colin Ray Jackson's statement. In the days following, he issued his own statement saying he regretted it and he was not a racist. Salyersville Mayor Pete Shepard tells WKYT the statement left him speechless.
Terrible. There's no place for that in anywhere, especially in public meetings or anywhere else, in private, it's just not what we're about anymore.
Shepard asked Jackson to resign, but he said he had no plans to, which led to Wednesday's special meeting to remove him. After the unanimous vote, Jackson said he plans to appeal it in circuit court.
A 6 to 7 month drug investigation ended with a roundup by Pikeville Police Wednesday. Tony Kahn with the Pikeville Police Department tells WSAZ officers put in weeks of work surveilling the locations, making sure everyone could get in and out safely.
It's going to continue. If you're doing it, I promise you we're going to find you and you'll see what happens.
Charges of those arrested range from trafficking in possession to evading and assault on a police officer.
Taking a look at the region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 42. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies with a high near 48. Sunday night, a 20% chance of showers before midnight. Mostly cloudy with a low around 29. And for your Monday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 44.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaf says, beer and cigarettes for everyone.
When Mr. Cooper sang his ode to the first year of official adulthood, he got a few things right, but he left a bunch of stuff out. Let's give him a nod and then fix that. First, what he got right is the dimorphicity of the human being, and that it's possible to have, and I quote, a baby's brain and an old man's heart. According to Alice, it only takes 18 years to get that far. For him, others, it took longer. Witness elderly leaders telling us that things that cost trillions are free. Listen to people who should know better freak out about spending when their own records are rife with excess. Baby brain, old man's heart, not really a safe combination. But some of what our dear Professor Cooper got wrong has to do with what he left out. 18-year-olds are endowed with the gravest of responsibilities. For example, 18-year-old males are required to register for selective service, one of history's most turgid euphemisms for the military draft. All 18-year-olds become eligible to vote. At 11:59 on the eve of their birthday, they couldn't even so much as contemplate participating in early voting or any kind of voting. But at 12:01, they become equal to every other voting citizen and non-citizen in regards to elections. There are other rights and privileges and opportunities that open up for 18-year-olds, but let's talk about a few that don't. First, in a most grievous violation of human rights, American women are forbidden, mainly by men, from registering for selective service. A woman cannot answer the call because she is never subject to it. Yes, women can volunteer, but that's not quite the same thing now, is it? A woman can never say, I answered my nation's call, dropped everything, rejected dodging and conscientious objection, and went. I went with others making identical sacrifices. Women are deprived of that moment of glory and all of the rhetorical, political, cultural, and social capital that comes with it. Talk about a pay gap. Why? The Selective Service Administration even prevents persons who have transitioned from female to male from registering. There's just no way to get a break if you're born female. Meantime, all of that debate, which is taking place once again with unusual legs in Washington, is not really the heart of what I wanted to bring up today. Amidst the usual debates over who should or can register are some fundamental fairness questions that affect all 18-year-old persons, regardless of the shape of their skin. Those questions regard smoking and drinking. Now, I know 18-year-olds don't smoke and drink. That's our baseline, right? Of course they do. You probably did too. That doesn't make it right, but it does make it common. Isn't it time we stopped treating voting, military-aged people like they are children? You can pick up and fire an M16, Pookie, but you can't fire up a cigarette. Oh, and you can vote. Your age group could swing elections if it wanted to, but no, you can't buy beer. Sorry, buying beer requires discretion and responsibility. Voting, yeah, whatever. Buying the wrong kind or wrong amount of beer, if you are 18, say, and going to a party, can be a lot worse than, I don't know, voting for a doddering old fool for president of any party. So, 18-year-olds, while you're filling out those selective service registrations and doing your tireless research before elections, don't you dare have a smoke and a brew while you do.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaf.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance and Grange Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Rowan County, and all of Eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen, Betty King, or Renee Genter can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under C. Roger Lewis Insurance Agency.
It's 56 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Hallie Adams and Shamari Mosley, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Cassidy Stearman has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us at the end of the work week.
The Morehead State University men's basketball team is all set for their second matchup in Alabama this week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cassidy Stearman. Morehead State men's basketball continues a two-game season-opening road trip at UAB tonight. MSU is coming off a 77-54 setback at number 22 Auburn to open the year. MSU did have a positive spurt in the middle of the game, outscoring the Tigers, but after trailing 38-9 at one point, UAB eased past UNC Asheville 102-77 Tuesday. Eagle head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys knew their time in Alabama this week would be very challenging.
They're preseason number one in the Conference USA. A lot of high-level transfers. I think from what we've heard from other teams, before I dive into them too much, is very deep team. I think they've got, 9-10 legit players who are probably all good enough to start for them. And so it sounds like they got athleticism, they got talent, they got depth, they got experience.
The Eagles and Blazers tip off in Birmingham tonight at 7 o'clock. Morehead State women's basketball has inked a national letter of intent with Independence, Kentucky native and Notre Dame Academy standout Lacey Bradshaw. Entering her senior year, Bradshaw, a 5'7" guard, has more than 1,000 career points and more than 500 rebounds. An incredibly efficient shooter, the Independence, Kentucky guard has also left her mark on Notre Dame Academy, where she currently holds the record for highest field goal percentage in a game at 64.7%. Head coach Kayla Petrie says Bradshaw is one of the many building blocks for the young team.
Jalan McDonald, another swing man type, she's probably 6 feet, but she was at the University of Memphis, and she's just getting back into the swing of things. She's had some issues that have held her out of practice, and so we need to get her healthy.
The Eagle women will return to play next Friday. They'll head to Huntington, West Virginia to take on Marshall with a 6 p.m. tip-off. Just one win. That's all it will take this weekend for Morehead State to claim the 2021 outright OVC regular season championship and host a role for next week's league tournament. Of course, the Eagles will strive to take care of both matches at Southeast Missouri and finish with a 16-match winning streak heading into postseason play. Associate head coach Kristen Becker-McBride says there's a lot on the line for conference volleyball this weekend.
First place is definitely still up for grabs, but destiny is in our own hands on that one. So SEMO is going to come out swinging really hard. It's going to be their senior weekend. Their most decorated players are their seniors, and they're looking at an opportunity to win a conference championship in the same way that we are this weekend. And then Austin Peay is doing the same thing. So it's going to be a very competitive weekend in the OVC.
The Eagles and Red Hawks will first face off at 7 o'clock this evening, then again tomorrow afternoon at 3. The Morehead State University women's golf team signed two new players this week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Ruth Tonneson and Tuva Marie Isabaki soar across the Atlantic to become the latest in a long line of international players to join the Eagles. Both hailing from Wang Sports Academy, the two are among Norway's most elite student-athletes. Tonneson comes to Morehead State bringing a pedigree of success on and off the golf course and is currently listed as one of the top five under-19 players in Norway. Isabaki has also made her mark on the Norwegian golf scene, as her one victory and 17 top 10 finishes this season have made her one of the most elite amateurs in the country. Isabaki is one of the top five golfers in the U21 Norwegian amateur rankings. The pair will begin play for Morehead State next season. The women's golf team returns to action February 7th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Morehead State football will take to Jane Stadium turf for the final game in 2021 Saturday, when the Eagles host Stetson for Senior Day. Morehead State will look to halt a two-game losing skid. The Eagles and Hatters series is tied at 3-3, with MSU winning the last matchup in the spring at home 31-14. In fact, MSU is 3-1 all-time against Stetson at home. Still, Head coach Rob Tenure says his guys have been working hard as they try to improve their recent trend of failing to convert on the third down.
And that's really where we turned our focus this week. Because to be honest with you, it was really, you know, our downfall from the last two weeks. And, you know, we just got to make plays. We got to get back to making some plays. But as I mentioned, you know, how do you get better at it? We got to practice it, and that's what we're doing. So we're going to emphasize it every day this week at practice, and we're going to go a little more live.
Tomorrow's game will also be Veterans Appreciation Day, where service members can attend for free. Kickoff at Jane Stadium is set for 1 o'clock. That's all we have for sports. For WMKY, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021. Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rallied, but still posted their first losing week in 6 weeks amid heightened inflation fears. And at the close, the Dow Industrial showed a gain of 0.5% at 36,100.31. The S&P 500 was up 0.7% at 4682.85. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 1%, finishing at 15,860.96. The major averages did close the week lower after the hottest, the major averages closed the week lower after the hottest inflation report in 30 years. The Dow was down 0.6%, the S&P down 0.3%, and the NASDAQ Composite down 0.7% on the week. And of course, the October Consumer Price Index released Wednesday showed inflation at its hottest pace in more than 30 years. And the fresh inflation readings sent bond yields higher and hit growth pockets of the equity market. Dow component Johnson & Johnson saw its shares rise 1.2% following a report that the company is splitting in two. J&J is reportedly breaking off its consumer health division into a separate publicly traded company. Megacap technology names provided support to the broader market. Facebook parent Meta rallied 4%. Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon each added more than 1%. And fresh data out Friday morning underscored persistent inflation fears and provided insight into the labor market. Consumer sentiment in early November dropped to its lowest level in a decade, according to the University of Michigan. Many survey respondents cited inflation concerns, according to the report. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 11 cents at $35.23, AppHarvest down 38 cents at $6.50, Marathon Petroleum down 20 cents at $65.80, U.S. Bancorp down 28 cents at $60.50, Dollar General up $3.72 at $2.25, and Humana was down $1.08, finishing at $4.45.42. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we have help from Tanner Foy, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Wiley Tanner, Keneally Roberts, Rachel Turner, Sarah Mead, Alyssa White, Cassidy Stearman, Ethan Jenkins, and Shamari Mosley. Our feature segment this afternoon was from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Special thanks to the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Hallie Adams and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.